From the book of Amos. This is what he showed me. The Lord was standing beside a wall built with a plumb line, with a plumb line in his hand. And the Lord said to me, Amos, what do you see? And I said, a plumb line. Then the Lord said, see, I am setting a plumb line in the midst of my people Israel. I will never again pass them by. The high places of Isaac shall be made desolate, and the sanctuaries of Israel shall be laid waste, and I will rise against the house of Jeroboam with a sword. Then Amaziah, the priest of Bethel, sent to King Jeroboam of Israel, saying, Amos has conspired against you in the very center of the house of Israel. The land is not able to bear all his words. For thus Amos has said, Jeroboam shall die by the sword, and Israel must go into exile away from this land. And Amaziah said to Amos, O seer, go, flee away to the land of Judah, earn your bread there, and prophesy there, but never again prophesy at Bethel, for it is the king's sanctuary, and it is a temple of the kingdom. Then Amos answered Amaziah, I am no prophet, nor a prophet's son, but I am a herdsman and a dresser of sycamore trees. And the Lord took me from following the flock, and the Lord said to me, go, prophesy to my people Israel. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church.
Thanks be to God.
Le Père de notre Seigneur Jésus-Christ. Il nous a bénis de toute bénédiction spirituelle dans les cieux en Christ. Il nous a choisis en lui avant la fondation du monde pour que nous soyons saints et irréprochables sous son regard dans l'amour. Il nous a prédestinés à être pour lui des fils adoptifs par Jésus-Christ. Ainsi l'a voulu sa bienveillance à la louange de sa gloire et de la grâce dont il nous a comblés en son bien-aimé. En lui, par son sang, nous sommes délivrés. En lui, nos fautes sont pardonnées selon la richesse de sa grâce. Dieu nous l'a prodigué, nous ouvrant à toute sagesse et intelligence. Il nous a fait connaître le mystère de sa volonté, le dessein bienveillant qu'il a d'avance arrêté en lui-même pour le mener les temps à leur accomplissement. Réunir l'univers entier sous un seul chef, le Christ, ce qui est dans les cieux et ce qui est dans et sur la terre. En lui aussi, nous avons reçu notre part, suivant le projet de celui qui mène tout au gré de sa volonté. Nous avons été prédestinés pour être à la louange de sa gloire, ceux qui ont d'avance espéré dans le Christ. En lui, encore, vous avez entendu la parole de vérité, l'Évangile qui vous sauve. En lui, encore, vous avez cru et vous avez été marqués de ceux de l'Esprit promis, Esprit Saint, à compte de notre héritage jusqu'à la délivrance finale où nous prendrons possession à la louange de sa gloire. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church.
Thanks be to God.
So he was afraid and protected him from time to time. Looks brave, liked to sit and listen to gift of goodwill, even though his words troubled him. Daring woman was waiting for a chance to have him killed. This chance came on the birthday of Looks Brave. He had a great feast prepared to celebrate his birthday and invited government officials, head soldiers, and important dignitaries from circling nations. The daughter of Daring Woman came in and danced before them, pleasing Looks Brave, and all the guests asked anything from me, and I will give it to you, he said to her, making a solemn promise, up to half of all that gold. So she went out to her mother and said, what shall I ask for? Ask for the head of Gift of Goodwill, the one who performs the purification ceremony, she replied with a sly grin on her face. Right away, she hurried back to the feast, went right up to the chief and said, give to me, here and now, the head of Gift of Goodwill in a basket. The heart of Chief Looks Brave fell to the ground, but because he had made a solemn promise in front of his guest, he could not refuse her request. For right then, he ordered a soldier to bring him the head of Gift of Goodwill. So the soldier went to where he was in prison and cut off his head. He brought his head to the young girl in a basket, and she gave it to her mother. Now when the followers of Gift of Goodwill heard about his tragic death, they came for his body and buried him properly. The Gospel of Christ.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
May I speak to you in the name of the Creator who loves us. Amen.
Amen.
I'm imagining that as you walked in the doors, you couldn't resist a glance into the nave to see how that all looks. And so I think it's kind of appropriate that we have construction imagery in the first reading. That piece about a plumb line. Now, I have never used one of these, but if you've ever tried to hang pictures exactly below each other, you don't want to go just with your eye to get it right. So I have taken a piece of yarn and hung a mug to make sure that I got the pictures just right. The other way, you know, this way, is also kind of tricky because your eye thinks that you're on the level, but you need that other carpentry device, a level, you know, with a little bubble of air to show you that you do have it in the right place. But it all depends on whether the rest of the room is crooked or straight. If you ever tried to hang pictures in a room with a crooked ceiling, you know that everything feels wonky. Amos is intending an analogy here to address matters of social justice. And according to both of our texts, case studies really, it is both appropriate and necessary to speak when there are matters of social justice. We think of St. John's as a church with a significant social justice history and perspective. And so it's important to us to figure out how to name those times when social analysis tells me things are crooked and wonky. And it's challenging to do that if the ceilings and walls are crooked too. What is going to look right? What do you have to say about it that would be appropriate? It would seem that the goalposts have changed from these two examples, these two case studies, Amos and John the Baptist. Amos is the prophet of social justice par excellence. And if we were to say we wanted to start doing Bible studies in the character of our social justice church, I would want to start with one on the prophet Amos. Now, if we were to say, all right, well, what's the New Testament one we'd use? Just as an aside, I think I would go with the letter to James. These are two great places for us to get into what our character is as a social justice church. So Amos is commenting on the corruption of his time. He's actually, as he says, really a gardener. And he has heard that the people are impoverished while the leaders enjoy very lavish life and very lavish worship services. And he does not mince his words. He goes to see it, and he's appalled, and he calls them on it. And I guess calling people on corruption is appropriate. But getting specific by mentioning the king by name, and the king should die, therefore, because of this, might not be appropriate. And then when we go to John the Baptist, he is clearly written in Luke's gospel, and in Mark's gospel, and in Matthew's gospel, as an inheritor of this prophet tradition. And so by the Jordan, he talks about soldiers and corruption, and he talks about tax collectors and corruption, and all of that is very appropriate. In fact, he had quite a following for doing it. But when he says to King Herod, this is not the King Herod of Jesus' birth, this is the next one down, there were several, that he shouldn't have married his brother's wife, this is getting personal. Maybe not so appropriate when you consider the outcome of having your head on a platter. It reflects badly on the corruption of the time, sure. It reflects badly on Herod's wife and his stepdaughter, and on Herod himself for getting his daughter to dance in a sexual way in front of dignitaries. It's all bad. But calling him on it publicly about his marriage seems to have gone over the line. For example, if we were to translate into today, I might have a personal opinion about the morality of a sitting prime minister, or a sitting president, or a sitting king. But I would not use the official statement setting of a sermon time to deliver it. Now, a sermon is more than that. Sometimes it's more like a reflection or a fireside chat, or sometimes it's more like encouragement from a life coach. But the way we treat the sermon, including, you know, we record it and it goes on the website and it has a life there, feels like it's intended to be a community's official statement. Well, we want to be careful about what we say in official statements. Mostly we defer to the bishop to let him say them. And we actually know when things are going beyond what's appropriate. And I have an example of it. For some of you who were here during the pandemic, you may remember the church videos that we did. So I had one that had a chat with the MP, another with the MPP, another one with the city councilor. And then we were briefly allowed to be back in church, you know, all masked and careful. And we had a Sunday where we invited all three of them. So Joel Harden and Yasser Naqvi and Catherine McKenney. And Catherine couldn't come, she was sick, but we had Joel and Yasser. Well, I did tell them this is not an appropriate setting to make political jabs. But one of them did, very specifically mentioning the name of the political leader. And after that service, I had someone come up to me and say, "You should never have politicians speak in the church, and I'm not coming back." Now, I have never seen that person again. You would think that someone who has been told, you know, this is the reflection time, wouldn't do that. Except it seems like You know how with English grammar, we're never taught actually how to make a sentence proper, but somehow we all know? I don't know if you remember in school, we weren't taught a lot about how to do grammar properly. I first learned grammar by learning French. You learn how to conjugate verbs properly. You learned not to say, I would have went. You say, I would have gone. But you didn't learn that in English class. And so for many of us with political type statements, we only know when it's gone badly that it's not appropriate. We only know after the fact that someone has said something they shouldn't have said. It seems that the norms have changed, and maybe what Amos and John the Baptist did was never appropriate, and we could say that over the 2,000 years we've learned that. Or maybe really the goalposts have changed. There are certain things that in our context now we don't do, and political jabs would be one of them. If we move from Amos and John the Baptist to Jesus, Jesus is really not the focus of this gospel reading. He's kind of there just around the edges. It's actually the only Sunday gospel where the focus is on someone other than Jesus. And so we need to pull Jesus back in. And what we see is that, yes, he challenged hypocrisy, and he had a special focus on compassion. And so maybe if we're going to think about how do we have something to say, we should begin from there. And if we look around to see how others are doing it, there have been statements from the patriarchs and archbishops of Jerusalem that, you know, this is a challenging time in Israel and Palestine. So there have been statements, and I've been really interested to read how they phrase things. There was another one from the bishop, Archbishop of Jerusalem, just this weekend announcing that the Al-Ali Hospital has been reopened. So I was very interested to see how would Archbishop Hossam Naum talk about this. And I think what I see is very careful when it's a criticism, and make sure when it's a positive to accentuate it, because this is a really positive development that the hospital is open again. When it comes to us and commenting on the social justice of our time, we're probably learning by doing. And our examples would be Truth and Reconciliation, and more recently, the demonstrations for peace about Gaza at this time. We're learning by doing. Now, the alternative would be to be so focused on appropriateness that we say nothing at all. You notice that, right? Like, the Israel-Palestine-Gaza thing has so many different perspectives that it might be easier to say nothing at all, or it might be that we're so aware of the complexity of the situation that we're not sure how to even wade in because other people know the details better than we do. But I don't think it lets us off the hook. I don't know if you noticed in the prayers that we've already had so far, that collect of the day that you heard at the beginning of the service probably felt unfamiliar to you. And I want to refer to the opening phrase. God of the prophets, whose word cuts through the webs of power and holds the tyrant to account, be with all who raise their voice against oppression and misrule, who are imprisoned and abused for freedom's sake. Help us to stand and speak with them and witness to your kingdom. It's a new prayer. We have a whole series of new prayers that that have been offered to us to make the worship more relevant and inclusive. And so we have been using the collects that have now been introduced. And this one does kind of leave us knowing that the challenge is still there, even if we're going to question and self-reflect on appropriateness and complexity. The challenge is that still there to try and have something to say. It's easier in your individual dinner conversations. It's harder when it's the voice of the whole community, whether it's in the sermon or in statements by the bishop or in statements we might choose to make together. And so I would go back again to Jesus, who challenged hypocrisy and had a special focus on compassion. If I could add and build on, say, Jesus is building on something else that Socrates said, is it true, is it kind, is it necessary? But we're not let off the hook. So I think we commit to being a learning community about how to be that voice in the best way, in the most helpful way, in the way that is for the kingdom. Amen.
Lord God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you are a God of good news. When things are dark, when things are great, and when things are just a little boring, you are here with us. You bring good news and grace to all who need it, which is to say, to everyone. And so we pray to you this morning, God of good news, saying, Lord, hear our prayer. We thank you, Father, for adopting us as your children. It is often easy to look at the world through eyes of cynicism and despair, seeing only the hurt and harms that people do to one another. But you, with perfect knowledge of who we were, are, and will be, chose us before the creation of the world to be your children. Help us to remember this when we look at ourselves and at one another. Help us to look at the world with eyes of love and hope, knowing the trust you have in us and the good plan you have for your creation. Empower us to move and act in response to your good news, rather than out of our own fears and doubts. This we ask of you, Father, saying, Lord, hear our prayer. The psalmist tells us that mercy and truth have met together, and that righteousness and peace have kissed each other. We pray for an end to injustice around the world. We pray for a full and righteous peace in which all are truly free. We particularly ask for a just end to violence in Ukraine and the Middle East, along with all other areas of conflict and war that we talk about less but cause no less suffering. Holy Spirit, we ask that you would change minds and open hearts for people to see the humanity in the ones they call enemy. This we ask of you, Holy Spirit, saying,
Lord, hear our prayer.
For those elected to lead in our community here in Ottawa, Gatineau, Ontario, and Canada. For Mark and Maude, our mayors, for Doug and Francois, our premiers, and for Justin, our prime minister. We ask your blessing, Holy Spirit, that they may lead with wisdom, love, and grace. This we ask of you, Lord, saying,
Lord, hear our prayer.
Jesus, you are good news, especially for those who carry heavy burdens. We lift up to you all those who labor under burdens, whether they be burdens of ill health, uncertain finances, uncertain housing, or a million other things, particularly remembering those people we mentioned now. For those whom we hold in our hearts and those known only to you, we pray to you, Jesus, saying,
Lord, hear our prayer.
For those we no longer see, but who have found their rest in you, remembering particularly all those we mentioned now. For all those who are grieving and bereaved, may we find comfort in the knowledge that those we held so dear are held even more dearly by you. This we ask of you, Lord, saying,
Lord, hear our prayer.
For those who lead in our church community, for Shane, our bishop, Anne, our metropolitan, and Linda, our primate, for Gary, Alan, Christina, Pat, Barb, and Kimberly, and for all those who serve here at St. John's in roles seen and unseen, we pray to you, Lord, saying,
Lord, hear our prayer.
Lord Jesus, you bring good news and grace to all who need it, which is to say, to us all. Thank you for your good gifts to us. Help us to see ourselves, each other, and the world as you do, and to live accordingly. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
with all that ever will be. on the night Jesus was handed over to suffering and death, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread, gave thanks to you, broke it, and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup of wine, gave thanks, gave it to them, and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Therefore, we proclaim the mystery of faith.
Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again.
In this ceremony which Jesus gave us, we celebrate our salvation. In our offering of praise and thanks, we stand in the memory, strength, and love of Jesus' death, resurrection, and ascension. Remembering, we make our offering. By your Holy Spirit, make our gifts. As our Savior taught us, let us pray.
Dwelling.
us in peace.
Dismissal. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.